This is Powering Michigan's Future with Ken Rogolski.
Good evening. On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll discuss the upcoming Habitat for Humanity's Detroit Blitz Build with Tara Franey, Habitat Executive Director Dan Guerin, Habitat Construction Manager, and learn about the support IBEW and NECA contractors and volunteers have to pull it all together with Tom Middlebrun, Executive Vice President of NECA Southeastern Michigan, and Michael Richard, Business Manager of IBEW Local 58. We'll also spend some time this evening discussing opportunities and jobs within the electrical industry that can change your life right now. So, stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogolski.
Welcome to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We kick off tonight's show by welcoming Tara Franey, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity for Detroit. Welcome to the Golden Tower. Tara, how have you been?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
Blitz Bill. Interesting set of words there. Tell us what this thing is all about.
Yes. The Blitz Build is where we do several houses over the course of 1 week. And this year we're excited. We're doing 11 total. So 5 new and 6 rehab.
That's quite a bit in just a week's time,
isn't it? It is. It's a pretty crazy event. People love it. It's amazing to see things go up that quickly. And then, of course, this year we're really excited to do 6 rehabs.
So this is from scratch. You basically go in from the ground and you build this house from the ground up?
Yes, we do. The 5 new absolutely are starting from the basement.
And going up. So how do families become a part of Habitat if they want a home, if they need a home?
Yes. There's the misconception out there that Habitat gives homes away, and that is absolutely not true. So Habitat is a home buying program. And we take applications, and our family partners have to show need that can be overcrowding, that can be paying rent that is not in line with their income. It can be living in substandard housing, which we see, of course, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They have to show the ability to pay. So these are hardworking individuals and families. And then the Habitat model, they have to be willing to partner with us.
So these folks basically already have an idea of what it is to pay for something and take care of something.
They do. They do. They're really hardworking people. Many are going to school and working full time. And then, as I was mentioning, they have to be willing to partner with us. And that's Habitat's sweat equity model.
Which so means?
A family... A married couple has to do a minimum of 350 volunteer hours, and a single person has to do 250. So it's quite a bit, and they're building their house and the house of their neighbors.
So they get skin in the game.
They have skin in the game.
Yeah. Now, how many homes has Habitat Detroit built since you guys started this?
Yeah, we were established in 1986, and we are over 350.
Wow. Now. Is this in all parts of Detroit?
We've done about 5 developments in the city of Detroit over the years. So we've been in Morningside, where our build is happening this year. We've been there since 2006.
Refresh my memory. Morningside. I can't picture the
east
area.
Side.
East side.
Alter and Mack.
Oh, okay. Right on the border there.
Yes, sir.
And you're moving forward.
We are. We're super excited. Over in Morningside, when Blitz is completed, we'll be at house 122.
Wow. Yeah. Now, volunteers, I think that's got to be an important part for you guys.
Yeah.
Huh?
We are volunteer powered. There is no way the Habitat model works without volunteers. So over Blitz Build, we'll have over 2,000 volunteers out August 15th through the 22nd.
Now, do you need special skills? Or
no.
Do you have to be a carpenter or a finished carpenter
no.
or a mason or something?
I'm glad you asked. No. We know lots of listeners out there. Habitat's been on your bucket list. We want you to sign up. We want you to come out and join us. No skills are necessary. We have a whole construction crew. We have volunteers that we call habituals that have been with us.
Habituals.
They have hepatitis. They catch the habitat. Yeah. So they're there to help you. We don't ask you to do anything you're uncomfortable with. If you don't want to go up on a roof, you don't have to. But you really learn amazing skills, but better, you meet people from all over the city and the suburbs, and we're all coming together for one reason.
What does a volunteer get out of this?
Oh, gosh. I think so much. They get to meet, like I said, just people from all over. You meet new friends. You connect with family partners, to the people that you're helping. And you learn new skills. And I think more than anything, you just know you're part of something bigger than yourself.
It just seems you walk away with a better feeling that you left the place better than when you found it.
Exactly. And, you know, we're seeing the resurgence of Detroit. It's a great place to be right now. And so I encourage everyone, come down and be a part of it. So downtown is amazing, but the neighborhoods still need help. So, again, anybody out there who's ever said, you know, I want to do Habitat, do it.
You know, you say you've got 300 homes that you want to do. There's still a lot of lots out there, and, you know, there's still a lot of people in need.
Without a doubt, we know. Again, we don't want anyone living in substandard housing. And Habitat, we build extremely green. Our houses are very, very healthy.
Fuel efficient.
They are, very much.
Now, one thing I'm dying to ask. When people get in a house, they get settled, they start making the payments, what's the track record like of success at the end? Is it like 80%, 90%, 100%?
Yeah, I would say it's over 80. I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but we do pretty well. We continue to have family partner meetings. As you said, because of having skin in the game, most of our families, they've worked next to each other. And so I think that helps. You don't want to let your neighbors down. You don't want to walk away from your house because you've all done it together.
You've got something in it.
You do.
There was a film that they showed us way back in high school that when they brought people into housing projects, this is back in the 1960s, they basically had to teach people not to spray paint the walls, not to use the hallways as a bathroom. And it just didn't dawn on me that many people never had that experience before. So you're kind of doing the same thing about home ownership, how to get people responsible for that home.
Oh, yes. We have all of our family partners go through financial literacy training, which is so important. We teach budgeting. We teach basic home repair. So, yes, we take people from the very beginning, and then we're always there to help. We're just a phone call away.
And a phone call to volunteer if you want to?
Yes, 313-521-6691.
Tara Franey, Executive Director of Detroit Habitat for Humanity, thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for more Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here again is Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We'll continue our conversation around Habitat for Humanity Detroit Blitz Build with Dan Guerin, Construction Manager, Michael Richard, Business Manager for IBEW Local 58, and Tom Middlebrun, Executive Vice President of NECA Southeastern Michigan. Gentlemen, welcome to WJR.
Great to be back with you.
Thank you, Ken.
We got a house full here. Dan, let's start with you. Tara was just on, and she was talking about the hundreds of volunteers you work every year. How important is it to have the support of the skilled trades union behind all the work that they do?
Ken, it's really important for a couple of reasons. To have the membership of the IBEW and the contractors. This year we have Ferndale Electric, Centerline, and Synergy System Solutions participating. This ensures that the homes are built to exceed the minimum code standards, that they're built safely, and that our homeowners don't have anything to worry about once they move in.
Because electrical, you know, you don't want that thing to go flazzy-whack on you in the middle of the night.
There are some things that are not well-suited to volunteer
and,
work.
And that's one of, but could somebody watch you guys with some basic electrical experience and just watch how you guys do it?
It's fascinating to watch a crew of these guys work on a house. They've got the routine down, they know what they're doing, and it makes this job go much more efficiently.
Sounds like a lot of fun, though.
It is.
Michael, your members have been supporting Habitat for years. Why is it so important for your folks to give back?
And the big things for our members is that, you know, we are part of the community, and giving back to the community and kind of establishing our place in the community is really important. And also being a part of helping others in the community realize that American dream of home ownership is extremely important. So it's a lot of sweat, a lot of hard work, but at the end of the day, it's rewarding. And I think the big thing is we see the same people coming back year after year to put in that hard work. So there's got to be something to it.
There's a lot to be said about working with your hands, being a craftsman. But there's also something to be said, too, for helping somebody get on their feet and, you know, leaving them better off than when you found them, too.
Absolutely. And that's the great thing, because when you're working on these, you actually get to work side by side and meet the people that are going to be living in these homes. So I think it's all that much more rewarding when they get to make that personal connection. Instead of, like, usually on a job, you're working on it, you don't know who's going to be in there or occupying that place. Well, this time you get to meet the people who are getting this great break and the great help from the folks at Habitat.
And your guys come back year after year after year to volunteer, so there's something there.
Absolutely. I think they're getting more out of it than they're putting into it at the end of the day.
Not a bad thing to have. Tom, NECA will have some electrical contractors on the site this year. Let's recognize them and why it's so important for them to be part of this effort.
Well, Ken, NECA is very excited to be supporting Habitat again this year, and as Dan mentioned, we have Ferndale Electric, Centerline Electric, and Synergy System Solutions participating. And as Michael also said, we're part of the community, and it's an honor for us to use our skills to assist to be partners with the IBEW, NECA, and Habitat.
You know, I wish your guys would have been around when we were building our house about 10 years ago, because now here it is, 10 years later, and I wish I had twice as many electrical outlets in my garage as I have now. So, you know, it's an important part of what you do.
Well, it is. And it's really heartwarming, you know, when you see the effect on these families.
How do you mean?
Helping them get started. Well, you know, as you know, Habitat goes through this process of identifying these people who are able to, who need this assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, when you get involved with projects like this and other, you know, charitable organizations, and you see the effect it has, whether it's a full family like this or individuals with scholarships or whatever it is, it just makes you feel good, and you're proud to be a part of it.
Well, when you're out there building, do your guys come in contact with the family and specifically the kids, because they got to be fascinated by this?
Well, that's actually probably a better question for Dan. I don't really know the process, if they're there during the course of the project.
Dan, do the kids watch this, too? Do they get kind of into this when they're watching their house being built?
Yeah, the kids really do get a lot out of it. They can't participate in the build process itself because it's a construction site.
Right, you know, they're still little kids.
But they're very excited to walk through the houses and talk about what bedroom might be theirs and to talk about what the kitchen's going to look like when it's done and to see the house being constructed. It's an exciting time for them.
Now, during the construction process, what's the biggest challenge you guys face in Blitz Build?
Well, the Blitz Build is a tremendous opportunity for us every year. Some of the challenges that go along with it, I think, really are coordinating all the moving parts. Aside from the sponsorship that Tara deals with and the family services the family portion of it that Family Services deals with it,
mm-hmm.
Is the moving parts of getting the site ready, getting the houses to the point where they're ready for the kickoff on the 15th, and coordinating all of the trades and the contractors.
So it takes how many days to build a house from scratch now?
A typical build takes
ballpark
between 90 and 110 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very concentrated effort. In 7 days, we'll go from the floor system to a finished exterior, essentially.
So this is the what they call the rough build, the rough carpentry work?
Right.
The families going into the homes, do they work alongside with your folks, too? And how important is that to the mission of Habitat?
That's really important. Habitat is all about serving families. And so our volunteers and the contractors that come out and work with us, it's one thing to work on a house, to frame a house, to build a house.
Right.
But when you get a chance to work alongside the family that's going to be living there, it personalizes it.
As a reporter, you go out, cover all stories, and we've covered yours, too, when you guys are building homes. What kind of homes will you be building? Is it just like a three-bedroom brick ranch? Will you be building two stories? Like what?
That's a great question. This is the first time in about 5 years we've built this plan. We've built ranch homes for the last several years. This is a two-story, four-bedroom house, and they're made to be visitable so that someone can get into the house in a wheelchair and use the facilities on the first floor.
And it's important today.
It is.
And 1 week you can take a house from what to what now?
We start with raising the exterior walls on Saturday morning, the 15th, and by the end of the day on Saturday, the 22nd, we should be ready for insulation.
Wow. And then it still takes some time, though, to put the drywall up. I mean, this is not move-in when you're done, but there's still a lot of work you have to do.
You're correct. Our families will be in these houses we target by mid-December.
Just in time for Christmas.
Absolutely.
Wow. Michael, how important do you think is the efforts for Habitat to build houses like this and on Detroit's revitalization? Because every place you look, building is going on.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's very important. And you look at the neighborhoods that Habitat has been targeting, you can see those neighborhoods year after year as we're going back there and doing these builds. The neighborhoods are getting better. They're growing. And it's important because you're going to build safe, sound communities. And you can see these communities, you know, they're being taken care of nice. And so I think it's really important as we're focusing on the rebirth of Detroit and in the inner city here that the folks at Habitat are doing great work in the neighborhoods and rebuilding the neighborhoods, because after all, that's really the core of the city is the people in those neighborhoods.
You know, this is not your first rodeo. You've built houses before. Do you drive around to some of the neighborhoods you've built in the past and take a look and say, me and my guys, we had a hand in this?
Oh, absolutely. And
what's it like?
Well, it's a good source of pride, right? I mean, just like we do it with the bigger jobs and the plants, you know, you drive by, we built that one. And it's, you know, this one, again, like we talked about before, it's more personal because you know you built that house and you know that family's living in there now and they're realizing that American dream of home ownership.
And somebody's life is better off because of what you guys did. Tom, before we run out of time, things your contractors are picking up, not yet. You still dominate time and talent. Why is NECA so important and so committed to giving back?
Oh, NECA give back. They give back in many ways around the community, and this is just one of them. They do internal, external scholarships, developing student chapters, being involved with Habitat, and partnering with the IBW. 98% of our contractor owners came through the ranks of the electrical industry.
So they came up the hard way, though,
yes,
you know, through.
And their local businesses. So we have a vested interest in our community, and we're very proud to be part of this.
That's great.
Organization.
Tom, Michael, and Dan, thank you for joining us tonight. Stay tuned. More of Powering Michigan's Future coming up on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. Tonight we're talking about the great work of Habitat for Humanity Detroit and the opportunities that folks get involved in the project. We've been turning our conversation now to jobs in the electrical construction industry. And we continue tonight with Michael Richard, business manager for IBEW Local 58, and Tom Middlebrun, executive vice president of NECA Detroit. Mike, let's start with you. Tell us about the apprenticeship programs and how they end up with full-time work for your guys and gals.
Well, so you know, we go through a selection process, and you know, thankfully, the industry has kind of picked up for us here, and we're able to bring in more more apprentices into the fold. Once an apprentice is brought in and indentured into the program, they start working from day one. They get a job assignment. They start earning a paycheck. They start accruing benefits from day one. So. It's a great opportunity, and for a young person that maybe isn't college bound, and they're not looking to get into that $60,000 to $80,000 national average student loan debt.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. I mean, you get a paycheck, you get a job, and you get no college debt.
Yeah, you not only do you when you finish your program in 5 years, if you're in the inside or 3 years in one of the other programs, you graduate debt free, and on top of that, you, in the five-year program, you graduate averaging about $225,000 in wages and benefits over that period.
Wow. Wow. Are the ladies coming in to take a look at this apprenticeship program, too, and are they finding a home with you?
Absolutely, and we're kind of ramping our efforts up and getting that, letting them know that this is a viable career option for females. I think historically they don't look at it as a real option for them. You know,
right.
The construction industry.
They probably never thought of it.
Yeah, yeah. So we've kind of been ramping up those efforts and advertising and getting the word out there that, you know, this is an opportunity for females.
So they start earning a paycheck when?
From day one.
So when they show up to start learning about how to do electrical work, they start getting paid.
Yeah, they get a job assignment right when they get accepted in. They get put with a contractor, and they go to school, you know, two times a month. So every other week they have a full day of school.
And benefits?
And benefits, absolutely.
So what kind of pay can they expect to get? What can they see in their check?
Our apprentices start out at around the $15 mark, and you know, by the time they turn out, you're looking at about $38 an hour,
wow,
plus or minus.
That's a nice growth pattern.
Absolutely. And then you factor in the benefit package, it's even, you know, bumps that up. So it's considerable, and again, it's a great career opportunity, and we're just getting that word out there and letting people know that this is a good option.
You know, I don't know about you, but I seem to learn better when I watch somebody do it, and then I try to do what they do, rather than reading it, following directions, and then trying to apply it. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely, and that's kind of our model, and that's why our apprentices, you know, you do have the classroom work, but they're really learning their craft, working with that journeyman in the field. And they're working with their hands. The journeyman's showing them how this is done properly. And then they get right in there and start doing it themselves. So it's a great model for learning. And I'm the same way. I learn by doing hands-on.
Good, I'm not the only one. What skills that candidates need? Do the people need to have any basic skills when they come to you to be an apprentice?
The bare minimums, you know, you look at a high school diploma or GED equivalency and, you know, algebra, 1 year of high school algebra. And that's really important, having a good, solid math foundation, because the curriculum throughout the apprenticeship is pretty math intensive. And not only in the classroom, but we use it out in the field. You use these math you know, you use these equations to figure out the degrees of your bends when you're running conduit, and you also need to know, be pretty confident and good with math when you're figuring out the size of the conductors that you're going to be putting in those pipes that you just bent up.
You know, looking at the electrical business today versus 20, 30 years ago, what a change you have been through. I mean, you just don't wire a house anymore. Either there are cable trays, there's computer wire you got to pull through. You know, now they have in-home generators. I mean, houses are basically, you know, almost like little factories now that have to wire, and you guys got to keep on top of all of this.
Oh, absolutely. You look at houses and even commercial buildings like we're the one we're in now. These things are like giant smart devices with walls and roofs on them. So that means a lot of work for us, a lot of work for our folks, and it also means that we've got to stay ahead of that ever-changing industry, and we got to stay one step ahead and make sure that our apprentices and our journeymen get that training, because we're constantly doing journeyman upgrade training with our folks that are...
The learning never stops, huh?
Never stops.
Now, I can understand why math would be important. You know, adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing. But why is algebra so important to becoming a good electrician?
It's the foundation of the equations that you're going to be having to use out in the field. In electrical theory, it's really the basic foundation of the equations that you use to wrap your head around electrical theory. So algebra is the base of everything when you're looking at the electrical field curriculum-wise.
Can you explain to someone who's completely ignorant about electric, me, I could never understand the difference between volts, watts, and ohms. They explained it in science. It just wouldn't penetrate my head. Yeah. They told me, if I remember correctly, volts was the electrical pressure that moves
the
current
the potential,
down
yeah.
the potential. See,
and then ohms is that your resistance, and each cable has a natural resistance factor on it. Each wire, no matter what, has a natural built-in resistance. And so power is the combination of both of those. It's where you get your power derived.
You'd be a good
from.
Teacher. You just taught me something I forgot. What makes a good apprentice for the electrical industry?
We talked about that foundation in math. That's a basic thing. And then what we're also looking for is someone that's got a solid good work ethic. That's punctual, that shows up for work on time, shows up every day, fit for work, ready to work. It's really what we're looking for, some young men and women that have that solid work ethic.
Tom, you're on the business end. What makes a good apprentice in the electrical industry?
Well, what makes a good apprentice? Well, as Mike mentioned, math is very important. These apprentices become experts in theory, code, and application. And there's different classifications of workers which require different skill sets. Kind of to address your question, are females coming into the industry? The fact that there are different classifications of work and different skill sets lets anybody, a wide variety of people choose this industry as a career.
So once they get in, once they start learning the basics, where can they branch out as far as future jobs are concerned? What areas can they end up in?
Well, quite honestly, there is a wide variety. Of course, obviously, the skills they're using in the field, they can move into management, whether it's on the union side, the employer side. They can expand into business fields, engineering fields. Of course, estimating and project management, another area that requires a lot of mathematics.
With growth, that's a big thing right now.
Yes, and so there's a lot. What's nice about our industry is we have a lot of diverse areas from top to bottom. Whether you're bidding the jobs, doing all the prints, doing all the design, as Mike mentioned, how math is very important in establishing all those things. Your conductors and the whole process of putting a project together. And so there's a lot of variety out there.
How's the market right now?
The market has been improving. As you know, we went through a very long down cycle, and we're very happy that things are picking up, and it's looking good for the next several years.
Is it booming?
I wouldn't call it booming yet, but and quite honestly, we would like to see steady growth and to put everybody back to work and keep them working.
And one final thing. Do you still need apprentices? Can you still apply to be an apprentice?
Oh, absolutely. So starting the first Monday, working Monday of every month, the entire week, they can apply online, and that's at the DetroitEITC.org, this Detroit Electrical Industry Training Center. So they can go on there. There's a How to Apply button, and it'll explain everything they need.
We'll have to watch that. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for more Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We're talking with Michael Richard, business manager of IBEW Local 58, and Tom Mittelbrunn, executive vice president of NECA of Southeastern Michigan, about opportunities in the electrical field. Just how many applicants, how many apprentices are you guys taking in a year?
It varies depending on the market. You know, we've got to have that balance in there on what the market demands are. I think we're running right now, I think we're on our seventh class this year, so just about a little over that 100 mark, 100, 125. And the school, I think we're running about just under 400 total apprentices enrolled in the school right now as we speak.
Do you have trouble of finding apprentices?
We're doing pretty good on getting applicants in. It's getting those quality applicants and the ones that meet that basic requirement. And so I think we're doing a much better job than we have in the past on getting ourselves out there and letting people know, especially starting at the high school level and talking with the guidance counselors and educators about this option. So
here is the $64,000 question, or maybe the $84,000 question. How much can an apprentice make in the first year?
So an apprentice starts off at about $15 an hour, and that's just on the check wages, and then you got to look at the benefit package that they're getting in there.
Oh, they get benefits too?
Absolutely. Starting from day one when they get
healthcare.
They start building towards qualifying for their health care, absolutely. And they start building their pension, getting those pension hours building up from day one.
Wow.
Again, by the time you're done with that five-year program, you've probably made around $225,000 in wages and benefits.
You made $250,000 in 5 years?
Absolutely.
And you come out with a degree and a trade that you can have for the rest of your life?
Yeah, you come out, you got your licensed journeyman electrician in the state of
Michigan.
You're
a journeyman, too?
Absolutely.
You get your journeyman's card,
yeah,
at the end?
And you're just a few credits shy of an associate's degree that can be applied at numerous community colleges around the area. Then as a journeyman, again, depending on the market and how the work is, a journeyman electrician can make between $60,000 and $80,000 a year, depending on the projects they're on and the flow of the work.
$60,000 to $80,000 a year?
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, how much debt? Do they have out-of-pocket expenses in this thing?
It during the apprenticeship, it's nominal. They do have a little tuition. And once they get into their second year of the apprenticeship, the journeyman and the local pick up the cost of their books for them, so that takes a little bit off the apprentices.
Mm-hmm.
So when they graduate, they're debt-free. There is no, they're not staring any debt in the face.
How can you argue with that?
I find it hard.
Tom, does the program offer any community college credits toward an associate's degree? We kind of touched on that, but what do they get?
Well, as Michael mentioned, it's a comprehensive program, and when they finish, those community colleges will transfer those credits or give them credit towards an associate's degree.
You went through the program yourself, didn't you?
I did.
So how did it go for you?
It went very well. It was a tremendous experience, and as we talked about in the previous segment, I was one of those people that was able to use my education in the field and my college education to continue on in this industry into different positions.
So you came in as an apprentice electrician?
Correct.
And what did you learn?
Well, you learn theory, code, and application. And electricity is fascinating for anybody who has gotten involved in it, especially the theory side. It's amazing. We all take for granted how electricity works and everything it does for it, for us. But it is an amazing field, and it is very, very interesting.
But look at your career now. You started out with nothing. You learned the theory. You spliced wires together. And now you're a business manager. Is this a normal route that people could take when they come into this industry?
Well, I was very fortunate. I had... tremendous people as mentors in this industry, and when I worked in the trade, as Michael described, you go through an apprenticeship program, you become a journeyman. I was fortunate enough to go work in the fringe benefits office, as you talked about. These apprentices and wiremen have a tremendous benefit package, and now I'm fortunate enough to work for the National Electrical Contractors Association.
So when you were a kid, is this what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Well, one of those mentors was my father, and I was exposed to through all his friends, many other wiremen that made me interested in this field. I actually started out in electrical engineering, but in my own experience, I wanted to build things. I wanted the hands-on experience. So I switched from electrical engineering into the electrical apprenticeship program. And that was very satisfying and beneficial for me.
But when you were a kid, you did like the Legos, the building blocks, the Lincoln Logs. You liked to put stuff together.
Oh, I loved all that stuff. And I was fortunate to go to a high school that offered a lot of electronics and electricity classes.
What about you? Was it the same with you? Did you want to build things when you were a kid?
Absolutely. Much like Tom, my father was an electrician in the local union as well. So growing up around that, and, you know, electricians tend to be a big family, so I was always exposed to all his friends were electricians, my uncle's electrician, so it was the family business, and I started out at an early age building, making my own little lamps and making things out of wire. So it was then moving into small engines, but, you know, getting that.
So you were a tinkerer then?
Absolutely, and I think it was just a natural fit. Once I came off active duty from the Marine Corps, they were accepting applications. The timing was perfect, and I started my apprenticeship.
Explain to somebody who's out there trying to figure out what they want to do with the rest of their life. You came in, you got a job, you started working, you had some success. Explain to somebody who's trying to find out which way is up, how this program can help them.
Well, I think, again, they just need to understand that this isn't a job. We're not offering simple jobs here. What this is a career path, and it's a career that you can, and as Tom has said before, there's many different things you can branch out to. You can stay a journeyman working in the field, and you can continue on and get your master electrician's license. I after my first couple years as a journeyman, I sat down and took my test and became a master. And from that point, you can, if you got that entrepreneurial spirit, you can become a contractor, start your own business. You can go work in a shop, estimating, project managing, and, you know, with this license and this journeyman's ticket in your pocket, you can go around the country. And quite frankly, the skills that they learn here in the Detroit area, our skill sets are desired and valued around the country and really around the world. So we train, and I'm biased, but we train the best electricians on the planet.
Before we run out of time, what's the application process like to become an apprentice?
So starting on the first working Monday of every month, and then for that entire week until that Friday, they can go online at DetroitEITC.org and then hit on that how to apply button, and it'll explain everything they need on how to get their application in.
And Tom, before we run out of time too, what would you tell somebody considering getting in the electrical industry, becoming an apprentice? Any words of wisdom for them?
Well, I guess my words of wisdom would be that if you are interested in, you know, getting involved in building something, not, you know, college is not for everyone. There, you know, and the trades offer a great opportunity for people that, you know, would like to get their hands dirty and work on projects from the ground up. And I'm like Mike, I'm very biased. The electrical industry to me is very fascinating because it is ever changing, as you mentioned earlier. And it's very complicated, but it's incredibly interesting to make electricity work for everything that we use it for.
It just sounds like a great life, a great opportunity, and a great way to earn a living.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us tonight. This has been Powering Michigan's Future on 760 WJR. I'm Ken Rogulski. Thanks for joining us.